X's and
the guy makes the fun of the people.
I got the thing started, so we'll get started. Today it's at Faith Bible Church. Today is July 11th, 2013, and it's Thursday night Bible study. Everybody here knows that my name's Paul Baalbek, and we're doing a series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the dispensation of grace. After we finish this series, we're gonna go deal with some of the things what the Holy Spirit isn't doing in the dispensation of grace. But I think it's better to go to the positive, and especially people who don't understand God's grace too well. And you know, we have a site on the internet that to take them and see what are the wonders of what we have in Christ, you know, and what the Holy Spirit's doing. And when they see the real thing, then the thing that's not real sort of loses its appeal, you know. So I'm going to open up with prayer, and thank you guys for your faithfulness and coming out. And my lady here up front. All right, let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just fellowshipping together, our oneness in Christ, and our oneness with each other as members of the body. Many members, one body and one head. And we thank you, Lord, for that we have a place to come and assemble, and that we can learn about you, Lord, through your word. And as we rightly divide it, we see your purposes and plans. And so thank you for a church that teaches your grace, God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will be the one that teaches us about himself today. I know he glorifies Christ, but you're one with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And if we're going to know you, we need to know your Spirit also. And so I just offer my availability in view of your mercy and your grace for my body as a living sacrifice. And may we be transformed, Lord. May we know deeper, not just facts about you, but know you and know your Holy Spirit as a person. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight what we're going to go over is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives of illumination. You know, that idea of illumination is turn the light on. You know, I got to use something different because I use this all the time. I usually tell people, what does alopecia areata mean? You know, or I'll usually say, can you say alopecia areata? Alopecia, come on. I know you like saying amen, so say something else. Alopecia areata. Can you say it?
Alopecia areata.
Okay, now I told you what it said, but what's it mean?
I don't know.
That's it means baldness and spots or fallen hair. Yeah. See, so until I explained you what it meant, you knew what it said, but not what it meant. And that's when we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, we have to depend on Him because He turns a light on in our minds so we can grasp that. If not for His ministry to us in illuminating our minds, we would know what the Word of God said, but not know what it means. How many people you talk to, and true believers, but they're under legalism or some erroneous teaching, and they're sincere, they read their Bibles, but they don't rightly divide the Word usually, and a lot of times when we go to the Bible, we go with preconceived ideas. you know, about our denomination has taught us, our Catholicism, not Catholicism, Catechism has taught us, or if you come from a Catholic background, we're looking at it through the lens of that, or a Baptist background, the lens of that, you know, whatever, holiness background, the lens of that. And so, a lot of times, we're not letting the Bible teach us, we're reading into it, and you know, we're supposed to exegete the Word. That means dig it out. You know, and that's what the Holy Spirit helps us do. Not read into it. Get out what it says, not what we want it to read. I'll give you an example of in Philippians where it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay? Now people say, see, you got to work for your salvation because they're taught that, right? And it doesn't say, it says work out. That means there's something inward that you work it out. You express it outward, you know? So we're going to go to Ephesians 3, verse 4 and 5. Again, excuse me, when you get a new Bible, man, it's hard to turn the pages, but I'm kind of quick sometimes, so it probably is good because it gives other people a chance to get to it. And I think I'll start in verse 1 first, just for context. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you word. So it was given to Paul, right? And what did he say? He didn't receive it from men in Galatians chapter 1 or 2, but directly to Jesus Christ. So this revelation that was hid, if we went through the whole chapter, we see it was hid in the heart of God and until revealed the Apostle Paul. And he says, how by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, that means the idea of secret, as I wrote afore in a few words. Now, who revealed this to Christ? Who taught it to Christ? I mean to Paul. I'm sorry.
Holy Spirit.
No, Christ.
Christ.
It's Christ sat down with Paul over years and gave him a personal Bible class. He got it directly, and then verbally he shared it in that day, and as he wrote his epistles, we received what he said, what I received, I give to you. And he said, to you, word. And so, Paul received his revelation directly from Jesus Christ. He was taught it directly. Now, we're going to see in verse 5, now it's the Holy Spirit who reveals the mystery to us. And also, well, we'll see. He says, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge into the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. So remember that word revealed. Now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So see, Paul receives it directly from Christ, but then the Holy Spirit, real quick, now, before we go there, I want to say, where it's talking about holy apostles and prophets, I don't really think here it's talking about Peter and James and John and them. Yet, I believe the Holy Spirit illumined their mind to grasp that Paul was given the ministry to the Gentiles, to the uncircumcision. But here, I believe it's talking about when the body of Christ, Paul, he said he was saved as a pattern. What's a pattern? In sewing. It's the original that everything else is cut out from, right? So he said he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe afterwards. And he was saved completely by grace. And he was a Jew and a Gentile. He's a Roman citizen and he's Jew. Perfect picture of the body of Christ where there's neither Jew or Gentile. You know, there's Jews and Gentiles. So in the early church, before, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I'll come to revelations. So before he got the full revelation of the knowledge, all that doctrine and teaching and truth about the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace, before that, you had apostles and you had prophets. I believe Barnabas was called an apostle. It's a different study, but there's a few people, Barnabas, probably Timothy. There, with the birthing of the body of Christ, you had men that would receive from Paul, but be able, also through the Holy Spirit. It's a new instructions, right? So how are you going to get them? Well, the Holy Spirit is speaking through the apostles and prophets, but mainly through Paul. And as he teaches them, they're able to advance us in the body of Christ. But I want to take a look at, just go back to Galatians chapter, I think it's 2. Oh, these pages. Can't even get them to turn. I'm going to have to bring me two Bibles. Okay. I'm not going to go to the whole thing, but this is where Paul, after he received, Christ sent him, and he said he got saved on the road to Damascus. Then for 3 years he went someplace. Then after 14 years, so Christ has given him more and more revelation through this time. Then he goes up to meet with the other apostles, and he says, verse 5. And Paul, I like Paul's attitude. Like, those who seem to be something were none, didn't mean none to me. See, he thought Christ was more important than God, than any important man. Even in that Jewish, that remnant, it wasn't the body of Christ, but it was that prophetic church, if you want. And he wasn't impressed with people. Just like we should learn from that. If we come across some big shots, some pastor or whatever, we should be respectful, you know, but not be intimidated. Because when you have the truth, you know, if you stand, you might be the minority, but if you stand with God, you stand in the majority. he said in verse 6, but of these, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, so somebody, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. I like that. I like how he confronted Peter in Galatians 2, where he told him right to his face, man. Because Peter, see, there comes a time to be bold, because people are starting to follow him in his hypocrisy. But that doesn't mean we should with everyone. You know, because Paul talks about being gentle and able to teach. He says, God accepted no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat or some in conference, they added none to me. So see, they didn't give Paul any information. Paul knew about the prophetic program, didn't he? He was brought up a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. But contrary-wise, so on the contrary, there's something else they learned from Paul. We'll see. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, so who were the uncircumcision? The Gentiles, right? As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. That's two different gospels. There's more than one gospel in the Bible. It talks about the gospel that's preached to Abraham, right? The good news of the gospel of the kingdom. Anyway, so Paul was given the gospel of the uncircumcised. When he says in verse 8, for he that wrought effectively in Peter as the apostleship to the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Now here's where I want you to see in verse 9 about the illumination of the Holy Spirit. And when James, Cephas, who's that's Peter, and John, who seem to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and they under the circumcision. So, who do you think helped them to see that? The Holy Spirit. Illumination. As Paul shared with them. And that idea, perceived too, it can have the idea of, you know, when you're looking into a sky and you kind of see something, and all of a sudden it's getting clearer and clearer, and it's a plane. You start perceiving what it is. Well, that's that same idea. As Paul's sharing with them, they're starting to grasp and see this picture. Hey, how you doing? Welcome. Just to refresh is where we're at. We're studying the ministries of the Holy Spirit and the dispensation of grace, and we're at the ministry of illumination, where the Holy Spirit turns that light on in our mind. And we were just in Galatians chapter 2, but I'm going to leave there, where when Paul shared with them the gospel, he was preaching among the uncircumcised, and they perceived. That was the Holy Spirit that turned that light on in our mind. And as we study the Word of God, we have to... I forgot my own tape recorder. I did the one from the church. When you go to study the Word of God, we need to take a moment, because I'm real good for being in a hurry sometimes, you know, and I know I got to get to work, so I want to get in my studying, and you know, Lord help me to grasp it, you know, and we're just kind of popping a pro at him. But it's better to take a minute or whatever and really realize our dependence on the Holy Spirit to teach us, because otherwise we're going to know what it says and we're not going to know what it means. So we want to just take that time and, Lord, if your Spirit don't teach me, I'm not going to know what it means. I remember when I first started hearing about the dispensation of grace, the difference of law and grace, the difference, my identity in Christ, especially complete forgiveness, that you don't get forgiven over and over. And I remember hearing it, and I'm like, man, that ain't been what I've been taught. Now here comes your spiritual integrity. You know, are you going to believe what man says, tradition, or just it's been taught for so long it seems true, or are we going to look to God's Word? And I remember saying, I don't care what they say, Lord. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. I want to know what you say. Because Jesus says, we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. And as I researched it, very prayerfully, because it takes the Holy Spirit to get through them layers of error that a lot of time we have. And you know what? It does set you free. Truth sets you free. So if we're not free in some area, then is there anything wrong with God's Word or who He's made us in Christ? No. There's some wrong in our understanding. You know, it's usually what Bob George used to call stinking thinking. So let's go to Ephesians 1:15-18. Right after Galatians. And I want you to remember this in verse 18 when we get to it, where it's talking about enlightened. The idea is enlightened or illumined. It's in the perfect tense in the Greek. In the perfect tense, it has a beginning and it continues. It's like the tenses in the Greek are very important. The Holy Spirit has them there for a reason. Like where it says, by grace you have been saved. Through faith, it's a gift of God, not a work. All right, that's in the perfect tense. Some versions will have you have been saved or having been saved, and the idea, because some follow it happened one time, and the others follow with continuing results. And in the perfect tense in the Greek is it happened with continuing results. So as we're going to see in verse 18, the Holy Spirit, He has to illumine our mind right from the beginning. To grasp the Word of God, and it continues. Aren't you glad? that the Holy Spirit's always there to teach us. It's not like we got to wait till 7 o'clock on Thursday nights or Sunday morning, you know, at whatever time church is, you know. But as we do our own Bible study, the Holy Spirit is in us, and He's our counselor. He's our teacher. You know, as we've seen, He leads us, you know. And where is He leading us to? Always grace. Not under law. He's always leading us to grace. Because we'll see, grace teaches us something. And we'll see at the end of the study. So we're in, what did I say, Ephesians 1:15-18. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So I'm just going to stop as a commercial here. That's what we should be doing for each other. And even believers that maybe disagree with grace, be glad if they know Christ and they just haven't been enlightened and maybe they ain't been introduced enough to the rightly dividing the word and things. But be glad there are brothers and sisters in the Lord instead of being frustrated, because I know it can get frustrating when you're trying to share. But we're going to see something where there's in the scriptures where Paul said, let them be. Because, you know, if they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. Because they're maybe not ready. Because if the Holy Spirit's working on their heart and they're resisting Him, how we think we're more clever than the Holy Spirit, you know? And we want to remember, the Word of God is a sword, right? You know, it pierces. It's not a club to beat somebody over the head. Okay, he says in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So we need to keep each other in prayer. Our assembly, other believers, even our unsaved loved ones. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now that idea is where the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it's a spirit-taught mind. See, the Holy Spirit's in our human spirit, and He'll teach our mind. And so, but it's got to be Him doing it, otherwise we'll grasp things with our mind, but it's not going to produce too much. So it's the Holy Spirit teaching our mind, thereby controlling our emotions, because our emotions respond to what we're thinking, thereby directing our will, not forcing it. He works through our attitudes. Is our attitude, I want to serve you, God, I want to glorify you, Christ? Or is it, you know, I'm comfortable in my walk, and, you know, I don't like change, and, you know, things like that. But when we have the right attitude, and that's what the Holy Spirit's working on, our attitudes, and attitudes precedes what? Action. Then He can express Himself out of us as we have that attitude of dependence and gratitude, you know, that we want to serve God out of gratitude. That's what He's looking for. He ain't looking for people. That's why it's a shame with legalism, because they're doing it out of fear of God, that He's not going to give them the blessing, where we know we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3, I think. So we do it out of gratitude, not to get something, or they're doing it out of fear. And God's looking for His children, members of the body of Christ, to serve Him out of love. And that's a joy. See, I want to. You know, you figure, I leave home at 5, I get here at 7, I get here because I got to, because traffic. And I don't do it to earn some from God. I do it because I love being used by God. You know what I mean? It's a joy when God's using you, whether it don't matter, teaching. Because a lot of people think ministry is, you know, preaching, teaching, Sunday school. Ministry, my old pastor said, don't separate your life from your ministry. Your life is your ministry. I wanted to actually ask the pastor about putting a sign, it used to be in a church where I used to go, above the door when you're leaving, you are now entering the mission field. You know, we think missions is going there. It's Christ in you, at your job, and your family, with your friends. You know, it's when we get together as a body, and Him expressing Himself out of you. And we're just like a water, Bob George would say, a water fountain. Sometime we're like, Lord, how come you ain't using me? You know, you're whining, and, you know. And He's like, I just want you to be there, available, and when I'm ready, I'll turn it on, you know. And so, and in the meantime, we just need to have that relationship with Him and just talking to Him through prayer and getting into the Word. And but the idea back here in verse 17 is a Spirit-taught mind, and also where it talks about knowledge in verse 17, in the knowledge of Him. In the Greek, that means a full, complete knowledge. And then in verse 15, now here's that illumination. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, illumine, enlighten. And why? So you can impress other people with how much Bible doctrine you know, and you can argue a lot, you know, on Facebook or, you know, whatever, or with people, you know, you come across with. No, that's so you may know what is the hope of His calling and what's the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. So we see that it's a Spirit-taught mind, and that we might know His will, know His purposes, know who we are in Christ. Because if we don't see ourselves as who we truly are, that you're holy without blemish, perfect in His sight, unconditionally loved, perfectly accepted. If we don't know that, we're going to believe what? If you don't go to God, where else you got to go? What you think, right? You ever been wrong? I was 30 years ago once, so I'm due again. Now I'm wrong every day, you know. Or you can wake up in the morning, right, and look in the mirror and say, dang, pretty good looking, you know. Or you wake up and go, man, where's that good looking person I saw yesterday? You know, and or you go to people. They might love you till you do something wrong. Like this dude at work, I'm kind of praying about it, you know. Sometimes you have to check somebody because, you know, I'm working in this staffing thing, and it's hard, and I'm learning different stuff, a lot of physical stuff, and it's hot. But I was telling the brother, every day I'm saying thank you God for work. Don't mean I like the job, but thank you God for work. And this guy, you know, I'm asking him questions. Well, what kind of boxes? How many? And you know, what size? And he's like, what's it say? Well, he's been getting all the considered disrespectful and stuff. And so I told, at first I was going to chill, but then I can be, believe it or not, I can be bold at times, right? And I go, let me explain something to you, dude. I go, you don't got to come out with all this sarcastic remarks, you know, and disrespectful. I said, I'm new at this job. All you got to do is explain it to me, you know. And so I was thinking about it, but now he ain't kind of talking to me. So I'm praying about that. But I would rather have somebody respect me than like me, to tell you the truth. You know, it's like in our walk with the Lord. You know, I would rather to share with them and they don't like me than to do things that make them like you and you kind of hold back. You know, you want that boldness. But I don't want where, you know, if we can live at peace with everyone, if it's in our power. So, you know, hopefully eventually it will it'll work out, because I say hi to them and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, you have to draw a line sometime in the sand where you can't step over. But anyway, I don't remember where I was going with that, but let's go to First Corinthians 2:10-12. Now it's the Holy Spirit who illumines our mind to grasp the grace of God. And we're going to see what can hinder that illumination. So 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. And I want you to see this as in the context of some, so I'm going to start at 7, but then I'm going to stop and then we'll take it at 10. It's about the mystery, about that secret, about the dispensation of grace, just for context. So this chapter is about that. The only thing, Paul could only preach Christ crucified to them. Some believers, that's all they'll receive. They don't want to go on. You know, like where Paul said he desires all God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Some believers like to get, they enjoy being saved, but they like to be comfortable in their denomination. I don't want to think, I don't want to have to question, you know, and so that's as far as they go, you know. And then they're not going to grow. They're not, you know, any believer, to me, that gets a grasp of God's grace, like I says, we don't have a grasp of God's grace till it grasps us. When it grasps our heart and our minds, now we're really getting a grasp. Not just the intellectual, but where it makes us want to apply the grace in our lives. So, Paul could only, you know, some people go, see, Paul, all he says, all I preach is the cross to you. That's because they were immature. You know, he wanted to go on. Actually, he talks about in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. Go back to verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom to them that are perfect. That means mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. So Paul wanted to take them farther, but that's as far as they could take them. And sometimes that's as far as we can go for a while with the person. You know, like, I don't, when I'm trying to introduce somebody to God's grace, I don't get into water baptism, why it's not for today. Because it usually means a lot to people. Like when I did it, I got baptized twice, once a kid, once after I got saved, because they said this is what you're supposed to do, it's your testimony, you know, to the world. Of course, I don't know how many people in the world were in the church, you know, and I was testified in front of them. But I don't deal with that. You know, that we know there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, if we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, then there's your one baptism. So water baptism we know is Jewish purification, right, for the nation Israel. But I don't go there. You know why? Because I can lose them there when I want to take them to complete forgiveness or the difference of law and grace. See, once they start seeing right division, there's divisions in God's Word. God's got His prophetic program. He's got instructions for them. God's got the body of Christ. And through Paul's epistles that we have our instructions. Once they start seeing that, now you can get into details. You know what I mean? But, like, I went to my niece. Got baptized in the wintertime outside. I'm like, gee, they're nuts. I don't even think she... From then, I don't know. You can't judge somebody's heart. But from evidence, you know, I don't see no focus on the Lord or anything, so I don't know if she just did it because they made the newspaper or whatever. But I went there because it was a big thing for her, you know. And I figured later on we can talk about it, you know, when it's a better time. But anyway, he says, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So I believe that's talking about the principalities and powers, like you have the prince of darkness, you know. They wouldn't have did it. But God kept it a secret what He was going to accomplish. I love that. I think God is so cool, so awesome, so wise, that He caught Satan at his own craftiness. Satan thought if I could just get rid of him, that's it for Israel. He didn't know, not only would he redeem Israel and later bring in their new covenant blessings, but he was going to form the body of Christ and bring in the dispensation of grace. And all them demons, and well, then they were angels, but when they fell, they became demons. And all them positions in the heavenlies, the body of Christ is going to fill. He didn't know about all that, you know. But God did. He's so wise, you know. And he says, for as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them who love Him. But God has revealed to them, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. There's your illumination. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So let's just bring it down to think it through. Because you want to think when you study scriptures. Don't just read them through. As I look out here, sometimes you think somebody don't like your message. Because you see them real serious, you know. And when I'm looking, I'm not looking at you or anything. But, you know, in the church, when there's a lot of people or whatever, it's harder with, you know, especially when you go with fingers when there's a few people. But when I look out, somebody, I might think, they don't like the message because they got this serious look. But I don't know what they're thinking. Sometimes they're thinking through the message and being serious about it, you know. Or somebody can be smiling at you, right? And all of a sudden, you know, they're picking your pocket, you know, or whatever. So we don't know unless what you tell me is on your mind, you know, and we communicate. That, I wonder if we should get that. That could be a direct message from God for me. No. Pulling Benny. See, mess around with God. You don't play. But anyway, I don't know unless you share with me and the truth about what you're thinking, right, or feeling, or whatever. It's like marriage, you know. You're like, you know, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. What, am I supposed to be a mind reader? You know, no, nothing, you know. So, God, Him and His Spirit are one, right, in the Son. They're one God in three persons, right? But the Spirit knows God's mind, and He has to reveal, and He reveals through the Scriptures, because Paul writes, we have the mind of Christ. I think it's a double thing. One thing, we have the mind of Christ in the Scriptures, and especially in Paul's epistles, and we also have the mind of Christ because the Holy Spirit's in us, teaching us His thoughts, teaching us God's thoughts. You know, so I think it's a twofold thing. And it's the Holy Spirit in us teaching us what it means in the Word. So, it says, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then if you go to verse 7, it's in the context of the mystery. So, the Spirit wants to illumine us to the mystery, right? To the dispensation, understanding the dispensation and grace of God. Understanding all that doctrine, that teaching, all that body. Like, doctrine does not just mean teaching. It means a body of teaching. You know, when you say the doctrine of grace, that encompasses a lot. And all Paul's epistles tell us all about it, that we're completely forgiven, that when we were dead in our sins, He made us, what, spiritually alive, right? We died with Christ, we were buried, we rose, we died who we were in Adam, that the cross, not only through His blood, He forgave all of our sins, past, present, and future, but He broke the power of sin. So we don't have to give in to that sin nature. It's there. And we, God has gave us a total victory program in grace. So when we choose to place ourselves under that sin nature, we make that choice. We never have an excuse, which is very convicting to me, because we do it, I think, every day in one way or another. You know, if I'm supposed to, Paul tells me, the Holy Spirit through Paul, to love my wife, right, as Christ loved the church. When I'm not being loving and patient with her, because love is what? Love is patient. Ooh, conviction, you know. So at times I'm not, and then other times I am, as I'm dependent and focused. And, you know, so we choose to walk in the Spirit, and that is a growing thing. No one never completely, you know, where they say, oh, you get the Holy Spirit and you never sin again. You know, that's just not true. Why did Paul write, and he says in Galatians, I believe, Romans 7, what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. There's a struggle. And what'd he say? But when he does what he don't want to do, he learns something. It's no longer him, who he is in Christ, that's doing that. It's that sin nature. But also, the chapter before, what'd he say? That the power of the sin nature has been broke. So there's the growing process. And when we mess up, do we gotta you know, soak ourselves in boiling tears and do penance and, you know, confess 1,009 Hail Marys or go directly to God and keep asking Him to forgive us when He said He's forgiven us. We're completely forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, I think, says, or 13. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So if we, that's past, present, and future. We have. 2,000 years ago, Christ dealt with all of our sins. He looked down the quarters of time, and all of our sins 2,000 years ago, they were all in the future, right? So He took them all. So the sins you'll do tonight, the sins you'll do tomorrow, till the day you die, He's already dealt with them. That's why He's not going to punish us. But the discipline is teaching us who we are as members of the body of Christ, who He's made us. Now to walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. You know, nobody's, like I said, where they say you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and now you don't want to sin anymore. No. The sin nature is there. But what I will say, as we get into this Word and as we grasp grace, because it says the power of sin's in the law, right? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 15, 56 or 57. So you get yourself under legalism, it's going to fan the flesh. And it's going to motivate it, actually. Like when you tell a rebel, don't do it, well, they do. They want to do it. So you keep yourself under grace. So when we do mess up, if we're forgiven, what should you say? Forgive me? And trample the grace of God? No. It's thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you, my sins are behind your back. It's now, it's wrecking myself dead to sin. I don't have to do that. And what? Alive to God. Where's my focus on now? It's on God. I'm not sin focused. You see? That's grace. And that's the Holy Spirit who keeps bringing that to our minds. And as we apply it, guess what happens? It's what I call holy habits. You start growing. You know? And then, like, I really appreciate y'all coming out. Paul tells Timothy, Bernardo brought that up, about teaching. And this, to me, is not only for men. I mean, in the context, what he's saying is to teach men what? The grace of God that can teach other men. But don't you think teach women who can teach other women? You know, that's what we do. And as you are coming and you're growing, you're coming to church and you're into the Word yourself and you're fellowshipping with believers and you're learning, then what happens? God's going to use you because you build that edifice of doctrine up in your soul. And then what happens is as you're taking it in, it just kind of splashes out, right? It's like the love of God. When you're grasping the love of God, the Holy Spirit's teaching, illumining our minds how deep and high and wide and long it is. And as you're rejoicing in that, it fills you up. And what happens when you fill up some? Pretty soon it just splashes out to those around you. So, all right, we're going to see. I got to see if I can do. All right, let's look and see what hinders illumination, whether it be in our own lives, and we don't want that, right? Do we want to hinder the Holy Spirit trying to open our minds to grasp something? No. Or also in other people's life, what hinders it? And I'll give you the answer first, a closed mind. And then we'll look at the scriptures. When somebody doesn't want to hear it, doesn't matter what we share with them. Now we can plant seeds, say, all right, I'll tell you what, look this up and that up, look on your own, and you leave it alone. Don't keep trying to beat them and make them believe, you know. I know you want them to grow, right? You want them to know, especially people in your family and things, you know. But the Holy Spirit, if Him through Paul, He said, if they're ignorant, let them be ignorant. Wait, because there might be another time when they're more apt to hear it. And I say 1 Corinthians 14, 37 and 38. (Clears throat) You know, sometimes a person is comfortable, you know, in their church and the doctrine their church teaches and what they've been brought up, and they don't want change. They're just happy they're saved, but they don't want to, at that time anyway, they want to be in their comfort zone. They don't want to be stretched and be used of God more. And like one lady, when I used to go to Grace Gospel, she told the pastor, you know, since I'm understanding right division and grace, I'm losing friends, and I don't like it. See, she cared more about her friends than she did about what God thinks, you know. So that's why we can only share, you know. And now if somebody's teaching error, then we need to deal with that error, you know, if it's affecting within the church and that. But look what Paul says in verse 37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So he's telling them, if somebody's spiritual, if they think they're spiritual, they think they're a prophet, then they need to acknowledge, where do we find the commands of the Lord today? In Paul's epistles. Right? And so if somebody don't want to see that, oh no, I follow Jesus, or Peter is my apostle, you know, or whatever. My church doesn't believe that. Or, you know, I went to theology school. I went to seminary. You know, and I remember, I won't mention which one it was. It was a big Bible college just out of Chicago. And I was working in pest control years ago. And I asked one of the kids about something about rightly dividing or dispensationalism. And he says, what's that? And I was nice to him. He was young, you know. But you're going to Bible college and you don't even know anything, right division or dispensation, you know. So sometimes people don't want to rethink, you know. My mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. And that kind of person, what does the Holy Spirit do, Paul? If a man, or use that as generic, human being, man, woman, be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Let him be for them. But later on, see, sometime what I'll tell somebody as you're trying to share with them the grace of God, and they're like, oh, no, we don't believe that at my church or blah, blah, blah. And then I'll go, you know what? How's it doing for you? And then I'll leave it there. I'll go, you know what? Later, if you have any questions or whatever, I'm always available, you know, and I'd love to sit down with you. But they're not ready. So if the Holy Spirit doesn't prepare their heart, and when He's trying to illumine them, but, you know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? We can resist the Holy Spirit, even in our own lives. Ain't there things in our lives that, like I said, I get so convicted up here, I don't know about you, where the Holy Spirit's, you know, it's not like a, I don't know, it's like a light conviction or something. It's like, you kind of know, but you know, you go think about something else, or, you know, I don't want to think about that one, you know. Let's talk about him, mine's little, or something like that, you know, my sin, or it might not be an outright sin, it might be an attitude or something. The Holy Spirit's trying to work on that with us, you know. And, you know, it's wonderful, He takes His time. You know, because God wants permanent change, not just, you know, many times in the church, want to clean up the act so you look good for our church, you know. But when God does it, He takes His time with us. Aren't you glad? Well, that should make us want to take our time with somebody else, right? Harder to do, right? Then let's go to Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. Let's start at verse 11, I think. Because the writer of Hebrews is sort of scolding these Hebrew believers, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You see that? Sometimes believers, they don't want to hear it. You know? And you know why a lot of times? Well, the context will tell us. Keep, you know, when you got a question, sometimes keep reading and God will give us the answers. He says in verse 12, For the time, you ought to be teachers. See, they had been believers then for a while. And they should be teaching. Maybe not teachers in the church, but be able to teach people. Ye have need that one teach you again, be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the, if you want, the Word of God or the worship of God. You got to go back to elementary school. He's telling them, you know, that'd be like somebody tell you, boy, you ain't too mature, are you? You need to go back to elementary school, you know. It'd be like kind of embarrassing a little bit, right? And are become as such need milk and not strong meat. And that's a lot in the church today. I think C.R. Stamm used to say, and I've heard other people say it, it's milk and music. You know, it's this little feel-good, tickle-your-ears message and some great music, be jamming, you know. But when you leave there, that milk ain't going to help you in the details of your everyday life. How are you going to face it when you face hard things, or when you face what it, you know, believers go through things unbelievers go through too. Sickness, divorce, you know, kids get in trouble, bills, you know, like me, foreclosure, lost business. We all go through things, and if we ain't built up in the Word of God and known how to apply that as the Holy Spirit has illumined our mind and taught us, then we're going to be fall right on our face, right? And is that a very good testimony to the people we've been sharing with? No. Because unless they see, not a perfect person, because they couldn't relate to you, right? But if they don't see a reality, something that's just, they can't put their finger on it, but this inner strength, and that's Christ. You know, in our weakness, what? His power is made manifest, right? And he says, and at the end of verse 12, and are become such as need milk and not strong meat. Now, when you're a baby Christian, when you're a little baby physically, it's cute when the baby's drinking milk, right? And they, or you're feeding them, you know, baby food, was that Pablum or whatever, and they spit it out, you know, and you're like, oh, look at how cute he is, you know. But when somebody's 30 years old, and you got to feed them, here, you know, here's your bottle, you know, and they're, and you're saying, come on, watch the plane, you know, 30-year-old person you're doing. Now, if they were retarded, and I'm glad I thought of that, there's retarded Christians. Their growth is retarded. You know why? They're still playing with milk, you know, as we should be growing, you know, and but it's not going to be from milk. You know, milk is good when you're a baby. But as you start growing and you're learning the grace of God and you're learning the doctrines of grace and applying it, that's how you grow when you apply it. That's how you start getting, you can get into the meat then. It says for verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. And that's a shame. That's what the Corinthians were. They were babes. He says, all I could do is teach Christ crucified to you. He couldn't get on the mystery. You know, he kind of shared a little bit with them, like with the Ephesians, how they were ready, man, and he could just throw it out there. And he says in verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. What's that idea of? Mature, right? Even those who by reason of use, so what's that mean? You've taken in the Word of God, you applied it, you've used it, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when we're applying the Word of God, we're studying and we're rightly dividing it, we're not going to get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and God's going to be able to use us to what? Help other people, to equip them, you know, because it's not just coming to church, coming to a Bible study. That's good. And we need to do that. And we need to get it, you know, get into the Word ourselves. But it's taking that and applying it. And when you're applying it, you start growing, and then you're able to weld that sword and know when to do a little poking, you know, when to maybe shove them through, you know. But that's growing. And there's nothing to me, I'm closing out, but time's good. I didn't get to go as far as I wanted to, but that's what's nice about a series. I don't feel as pressured to try and get it all in, because I usually end up with I got more than left over. But there's none better than growing in your relationship with God. You know, and the only way it's going to come is through the Word. The Holy Spirit's teaching, illumining our mind. We're grasping things, and I think it starts getting exciting to us, you know. And that starts catching on, because I got 1-2 minutes left. I'll give you an example. When I first started growing in grace and started understanding some light division, and I was studying a lot, and I was growing, and I was finding these things, and God's Word works. It works in me that I was learning my identity in Christ. I could say, no, that's not me anymore. This is me, you know. And as I was growing, and I would go by my best friend's house, he asked me, Paul, do you want to do a Bible study with me? See, he's seen something, that reality of the resurrection in me. Because I was growing. It wasn't me. He was seeing Christ in me expressing himself out of me. And just like every believer, Christ is in you and he wants to express himself out of you. And then from him, it went to, we started doing it with a few more people, and it got to be, we used to have sometime 25, 30 people coming after a while. And we had a 2-hour study, believe it or not. That's a long study. I mean, this is an hour, and it's eyelids get tired, right? You know, when you're sitting there. So, but you know why? Because it was kind of open to study. But it's, you know, where they could, I would ask questions, and people would kind of answer what it meant. And then I would, you know, some answers would be good, some not right, and I would then explain it. So it's kind of fun, but it's a real danger in that, because you get rabbit trails going all over. People want to go this way and that way, and sometimes I think this is a better type of a study, because you're learning, and then at the end, if there's some input, you know. So with that, anyway, thank you all again for appreciate seeing some nice, pretty faces instead of these handsome guys only, you know, and then my mug. So we'll close with prayer, and I pray that God will just His Holy Spirit will bring some of these verses up in our minds, and we'll apply them during the week and see how God uses us in other people's lives, because I think Christ is coming soon, and so we want to redeem by up the time, right? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace to us, Lord. We could have never approached you on our own, God. You're a perfect, righteous, holy God. You're loving, and you're just, but you're righteous. And we couldn't be righteous enough. And by the way, you tell us that we were spiritually dead. How can you have a relationship with the dead person? The only thing you could do is offer them life if they'll trust in your Son. Then we get spiritual life, and we can have a spiritual relationship with you, Father. And it's wonderful, just all day long, that we can just share our sadness with you, our joys, and you care. You care more about us, and you want to spend time with us more than we do with you, Lord. And I pray, Father, if maybe someone listening through the internet, if they've never trusted in your Son, that they've been trying to be good and trying to do what their religion or church says, that they would rest from their works and realize we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from you, Lord, not by works. And they would trust in you and what your Son did, that he died in their place for their sins. And they would be eternally saved, Father. And thank you for doing that for us who have believed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let me turn this thing off now. Where's the instructions? Well, the one time I erased it. Thank you.
Yeah.